Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's readings, two women are accused of adultery, and each one is saved from stoning by someone endowed with extraordinary wisdom by God. But while Susanna is innocent, the unnamed woman in the Gospel is guilty. Yet she too is saved, and justice is served, for Christ is even wiser than Daniel. We find Jesus in Jerusalem for a liturgical feast. Despite the hostility of the leaders of the Jews who have gone so far as to seek a way to put him to death, he does not fear to come. To this end, to put Jesus to death, a group of scribes and Pharisees presents him with a trap. They use a woman caught in the very act of committing adultery. The man is mysteriously missing. As Jesus teaches in the temple, they make her stand in the middle of the group and say, "Moses commanded us to stone such women, so what do you say?" They're certainly not asking because they want to learn, but because they want to be able to accuse Jesus. It's worthwhile to take a moment to understand their trap well. If Jesus says not to stone the woman, he goes against the law of Moses, and then he is discredited. For he had said, "I have come not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them." But that is not true if he says not to punish adultery. Such an answer would prove to the people that he is not the Christ or the prophet promised by Moses, for the prophets always insisted on faithfulness to God's law. If, on the other hand, Jesus says to stone her, not only does he go against the mercy he has shown to sinners so far, but more importantly, he becomes guilty under Roman law, for only the procurator, Pilate, could issue the sentence of death. So remember what will happen after Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Sanhedrin find Jesus guilty of blasphemy, unjustly, and condemn him to death. But not having the power to carry out their sentence, they take him to Pilate to have him condemned by the procurator. So if Jesus had the woman stoned to death, he could have been tried for rebellion, or at least murder, and thus put to death. During the feast, the temple was closely guarded by Roman soldiers, ready to intervene in the case of any disturbance. So it would be easy to report Jesus to them and have him arrested. Jesus seems to have no escape. If he says no, he is discredited. If he says yes, he will be put to death by the Romans. To this difficult question, Jesus does not answer a word. He knows well that these Pharisees seek neither knowledge nor justice, but a pretext to accuse him. Their question does not merit an answer. Instead, he begins to write on the ground. What did he write? We cannot know for sure. There are many interpreters, from St. Ambrose, St. Jerome, and St. Augustine, to biblical scholars of our day, who think that he wrote the names of the Pharisees. For Jeremiah had said, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." A little earlier in St. John's Gospel, Christ had said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So Christ is the fountain of living water. But the Pharisees have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water, and they set a snare for him. Therefore he writes them in the earth, as Jeremiah said. Their names are not written in heaven, because their hope is placed in the things of the earth, which pass away like dust blown by the wind. But they do not understand the lesson and insist on having an answer. So Jesus gives them a wise answer. "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone at her." He is not lacking in justice, for he recognizes that the woman, by the law, deserves death for her sin. But he is not lacking in mercy either, for he postpones the application of justice in order to leave time for mercy. For he has proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, in which he came to seek and save the lost. It is as if he had said, "Beware of asking me now to condemn the sinner, when you too are to be condemned. Ask for sinners mercy rather than punishment, so that you too may find mercy. In this sense, St. Bede sees in Jesus' bending down to the ground a sign of the attitude of humility that we must have before accusing others. He who humbly considers his own behavior, his own sins, before he evaluates his neighbor's behavior, will be better able to judge rightly. This is what we are to learn from Jesus, but clearly the Pharisees did not grasp the lesson, because they did not repent. If they had repented, they would not have continued to oppose Jesus, but we see that they did continue to oppose him right after this episode. They do not acknowledge that they are sinners. Their attitude is instead like that of St. Paul before his conversion. He too was a Pharisee, and relates that he was, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. The Pharisees considered themselves blameless. They avoided the least sin against the law, and of their great sins they took no notice. So if they are unrepentant, why is it that they go away, beginning with the elders? Because they have understood how Jesus escaped from the trap, and the elders, being the wisest, were the first to understand it. They did not, of course, recognize that they were sinners, but on the other hand, they knew well that Jesus did not think they were without sin. So by saying to cast the first stone, Jesus had respected the law, but by saying that the first stone should be cast by someone who was without sin, he was not giving permission to begin to any one of them. Therefore, they will not be able to blame Jesus if they stone the woman. They would be the ones who would be arrested by the Roman soldiers closely guarding the temple. The woman is no longer of any use to them. Apparently, their zeal for the law has failed. And so, the woman being of no use, the accusation being ineffective, they leave. So Jesus was left alone with the woman before him. St. Augustine comments, two were left, misery and commiseration. That woman who for the Pharisees was only a tool to destroy Jesus, for Christ was instead a lost sheep to save. He loves her, not as her accomplice in sin loved her, to use her for pleasure. No, he loves her because she has the capacity to love God. It is for this that she was created, even if she has so far loved him too little. Her brush with death evidently led her to repent. Therefore, he does not make her pay for her sin with blood, as the Mosaic law stipulated. He will pay with his own innocent blood. This is how he will fulfill the law. This is how he will love that woman. Although he does not condemn her, he does not fail to condemn her sin. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more. If you continue to sin, you will not have to fear stoning, but the unquenchable fire of hell and the worm that does not die. So the Gospel does not tell us whether this woman eventually was faithful to the end to our Lord's admonition or not, but we can hope that this day marked a real turning point in her life. Like St. Paul, she might have said, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As in his case, it shows that the past puts no limit on the possibilities for our future, if by God's grace we pass from death to life. So let us too press on toward the goal in these last days of Lent, invoking Our Lady's help. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.